When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Fantasy Throwdown Podcast,
bringing you the latest from the world of sports, DFS, and gambling. With over 5 years of hot takes and millions of downloads later, I guess he's been doing something right. Now, sit back and listen to one of the sharpest minds in the game. Here's your host, Dwayne Callender.
Welcome to the show. We are looking at the Midwest region, otherwise known as how many games will it take for Purdue to completely choke? Because there's one thing I know with pretty much certainty, Purdue is not winning this region. I will stake this very much. I will be stunned if Purdue somehow makes it out of this region without flubbing. Because the way Purdue plays, this tournament seems ripe for an upset, even as early as round number two. It's like, we had the debacle last year with Purdue going out in round one. I don't think it happens this year. But man, I have a tough time with Purdue as a whole, as a number one seed. Because the way Edie plays, outside of the Big Ten, when refs are not going to give him the leeway of being as physical as he is in the paint, is the reason why I don't think he's going to make it in the NBA. It's the reason why I think he struggles comes tournament time. He's going to get into foul trouble the way he plays. He's going to need a Big Ten referee crew in his matchups. And that's just not how the NCAA tournament is set up. I don't think he's going to get the leeway he's so accustomed to. And Purdue's ball handling is so suspect that they're going to run into issues in this tournament. I don't care how deep they get into it. Whether it's, and again, I don't love this bracket at all, but the truth of the matter is, between Utah State and TCU, I think Purdue's ripe for an upset. The question is, do I adhere to my principles that you still try to bank the likelihood of outcomes? But to me, Purdue is the number one, is the one seed that most of their games are going to be coin flips versus their opponents outside of round one. Most of their games are going to be coin flips at best. It's hard to trust Purdue at all in terms of how their play style works, because it functions through one guy in Zach Edey. And truth be told, we've seen them struggle, because while they're not a slow team, their game is predicated on the offensive efficiency of Edie being able to do whatever he wants. And that's just not how the NCAA tournament works. I don't know how else to say it. Like, to me, Purdue is the most suspect team in this tournament by far, because they don't really do well in terms of perimeter defense. And, you know, anytime a team shoots well, like, this team's just so susceptible to getting bounced. You know, the simple fact of the matter is, they're 6-1 to win the NCAA tournament with the betting markets. There's no value in Purdue. Everyone has them cooked into being in the Final Four, and even from a numbers projection standpoint, the numbers say Purdue has a 30% chance of making the Final Four. My issue with that is, the only reason why those numbers are so high is because this region, if you look at it, it's like UConn got no favors at all in terms of how they got placed. Like, Purdue's in essentially a country club circuit, and UConn's in Thunderdome in terms of the teams that they have to go up against. You know, I don't love the Midwest region in terms of the squads. I don't think Tennessee is necessarily a solid roster either. Like, we always worry about Rick Barnes' team and his clubs come tournament time, because I don't think Rick Barnes does well under pressure in terms of managing a team. Like, this is a guy who still couldn't win even get to an NCAA final with Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant got bounced early in the NCAA tournament under Rick Barnes. It's tough. It's really tough. I mean, Rick Barnes' career in the NCAA tournament is 27-27. That tells you what you need to know. Like, he's just not good at come tournament time. I mean, Matt Painter in Purdue is not much better at 17-15. Like, he's had his own whoopsie moments. But, like, these are the two most suspect teams as 1 and 2 seeds. To me, the best team in this region is Creighton. Creighton's the best team in the region. I don't even think it's that close. And it's not even as though Greg McDermott has the best track record in the NCAA tournament. But this is by far the weakest region he's ever been placed in as a high seed. I don't even think it's close. To me, the 30-1 odds... title odds for Creighton are not the craziest thing, but to me, their odds substantially have more value to them than what you get out of Purdue and Tennessee. I don't even think it's close. The truth of the matter is that Creighton moves the ball around to create shots. They shoot a lot of threes, and if they don't hit their threes, they're absolutely in danger. And like, there's no question about it. It's like Creighton has to be able to shoot well in order to do well in their matchups. If they don't shoot well, they are just as susceptible of getting knocked out. That's why, you know, in terms of this region, it's like, this is by far the weakest region in my opinion. I call it the country club circuit. And then we got the 4 seed in Kansas. How is Kansas a 4 seed? They have major injuries across the entire squad. And without McCullough in the mix, there's a real chance they could actually get upset by Samford in round one. Kevin McCullough Jr. being out leaves Kansas susceptible no matter who the opponent is. Even Samford is capable of knocking him out. Do I think Samford upsets Kansas? No. But I do think it's worthwhile betting Samford at the 8.5 number that it is now before it goes down, and +300 for Samford. Still, ton of value in that single game side, because Kansas, realistically, they're not good rebounding the ball, which is atypical of a Kansas squad. But again, they've had to rely so much on guard play without McCullough. This is going to be a very interesting game, because Kansas was the preseason number one team this year. The stats have shown that they weren't even close to that. If anything, the only reason why this team's a 4 seed is because of the fact that so many people were on them early. It's to save face from the fact that this is essentially a 6 seed masquerading as a 4 seed. I don't even look at this as a region you could take that seriously. The 5 seed's Gonzaga. I think the West Coast Conference was weak, and Gonzaga also got overseeded by at least 2. Like, Gonzaga's a 7 seed that currently has 5, but Gonzaga, by virtue of literally look at this region and tell me who you're afraid of, Gonzaga has a great chance to advance to the Sweet 16 and beyond, because frankly, there's just not a ton of depth and size in this region. So I kind of look at this saying Creighton should be in a great spot, because their biggest weakness in terms of size, like, they're not necessarily seeing it in this region. So they should have an active opportunity to make a deep run, because of the fact that, you know, we just don't have that much in terms of the caliber strength of certain clubs. The matchup, I believe, will be the toughest because of the fact that it kind of comes down to how good each of these teams could be individually. But the 6-11 matchup with South Carolina, South Carolina and Oregon makes things interesting. From a metric standpoint, Oregon has projected extremely highly over the second half of the year compared to the slow start. There's definite aspects where you could see, depending on whom you're talking to, it flipping towards Oregon should be favored or South Carolina should be favored. The Lions still favors the higher seed in South Carolina, but it's not really an upset, in my opinion, if Oregon wins. And it wouldn't shock me if Creighton has a bad shooting game, Oregon took out Creighton. Like, Creighton, even though I like them for the region more than our top two seeds, Creighton is one bad shooting night away from getting eliminated, and that's just the simple fact of the matter. It becomes an all-or-nothing play. Now, from the standpoint of looking at the 7-10 matchup, it's Texas. I would be stunned if Virginia beat Colorado State. I think Colorado State's too big, too strong for Virginia. I think they're gonna get bullied, in my opinion, in terms of how Colorado State plays. So I'm assuming it's Colorado State versus Texas, and I think Colorado State can't prevail against Texas just because I, on the surface of things, I look at Texas as a squad where they can't rebound and they're not good at perimeter defense. Colorado State's going to crash the boards on them and make it physical. I don't necessarily see a great path forward in terms of what Texas is going to be able to do, because the matter at hand is a case that, you know, Isaiah Stevens for Colorado State should be able to get penetration against Texas. And, you know, wow, this region as a whole has weak defenders. There's nothing in terms of the squad profiles where someone defensively is going to turn it up in this region. I think most of these games should be back and forth type shootouts. Yeah, just to kind of go through the individual bracket sections themselves. So in the upper quadrant, you know, we've got Purdue against Montana State, and I think it was Grambling. Purdue, like I said, I truly think that this Purdue squad, while weak, should still be able to take care of business. The aspect that they're going to run into is the fact that TCU or Utah State should be efficient enough on offense that it'll give Purdue trouble in the second round. I think TCU edges out Utah State, but in terms of matchups, TCU would be a harder matchup for Purdue given their shot-making ability, because while Utah State would get open looks against Purdue, I don't think their shooting is good enough to punish Purdue severely. If it happens against TCU, though, Purdue would be in a hole early and quite quickly, given how some of these measures have been. I mean, in terms of the consistency of like how some of these measures are implemented by these coaches, I look at this from
TCU is a far more dangerous matchup for Purdue. Utah State's more likely to win head-to-head between themselves and TCU, but that's an interesting matchup. Gonzaga and McNeese State. All right, let's talk about McNeese State, because offensively, their numbers support it metrics-wise, and coaching-wise, you know, Will Wade, you know, how Will Wade's still being allowed to coach college basketball these days after being on an FBI wiretap is, you know, entirely different story. But, you know, this is where I kind of lead to. It's like, you know, there's only so many upsets in a given tournament, but teams that can make a run in the tournament, that's a different story. McNeese State is a team that can make a run in the NCAA tournament. The issues that Gonzaga has, McNeese can punish. McNeese, outside shooting, also hands on the ball defensively, putting pressure on folks. McNeese can absolutely be a terror and still fulfill most of, if not all of the obligations that you would need for an upset pick. I mean, from my standpoint, you've got an undersized McNeese State squad because in terms of average height, they rank about in the low 300s in average height in the nation. There's only about 365 schools in collegiate basketball, so you already know you're scraping the bottom of the barrel in terms of short guys. But the issue for Gonzaga is, you know, I don't think they do well in terms of offensive rebounding. So, to me, Gonzaga is going to have to do quite a bit in terms of being efficient. Because for the vast majority of the year, Gonzaga was going to miss the NCAA tournament. Like, Gonzaga, like, a couple of weeks out, you know, this is their 24th straight tournament appearance. They were going, they had to win 14 of the last 16 games to get going. I know most of this is the fact that their offensive efficiency peaked to about, I think they were top three in the nation over the last 2 months of the year. But part of the issue is that they did it against the West Coast Conference, which is substantially weaker across the board than most college conferences this year. This is why I have strong reservations against St. Mary's and Gonzaga, because the West Coast Conference did not perform against other conferences this year. They were definitely weak out of the conference. So, McNeese State definitely live. I just don't love them as much as some of the other regions I had mentioned between New Mexico and Grand Canyon, but McNeese is certainly live. But from a probability standpoint, Gonzaga probably gets to the second weekend of the tournament. It's just that I don't love the team. They just happen to get an extremely lucky draw. And with that, we're going to take a quick break and then finish out the rest of this region. So stick around, folks.
Don't go anywhere. The Fantasy Throwdown Podcast will be right back after our sponsors pay the bills.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Sick of being upsold at gyms? My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Welcome back to the show. Hope you got your popcorn ready.
All right, so Midwest region. As I talked about, this region was handpicked so that even Purdue shouldn't be able to screw it up, which means they're still going to find a way to screw this one up. From my perspective, I look at this and say, there's a very real chance Purdue doesn't make it out of the first weekend. It's just the situation that it is. Now, from a betting standpoint, the other team that very likely is going to run into severe difficulty advancing out of the round of 32, even if they get past round one, is Kansas. I think Gonzaga, and if McNeese pulls off the upset, McNeese is certainly live against Kansas or Samford. There's just not really a strong push in terms of justifying Kansas being a four seed, given their injury issues and the fact that the guys that they relied upon throughout the year are either injured or struggling mightily at the end of the year. So, you know, it's just there's just not much left that we can really. I don't even want to give excuses. Like, this bracket is just soft in general. There's not a ton of upside out of most of these teams. The teams that actually had the upside would be South Carolina, Oregon, and they're playing each other in round one. And then after that, I still look at it from the bottom half of the bracket. Like, I still think the bottom half of the bracket with Creighton is probably the best bet for the overall Midwest region. The top half, I have no confidence in any of these teams. That's why folks will still pick Purdue, but you have to understand, Purdue is so tight come tournament time and their matchups that that second round matchup is still very much a coin flip at best. And I think you could even give an edge to TCU in terms of which team fits an NCAA tournament style game better in terms of a matchup. I think TCU should be a slight favorite against Purdue, even though no odds maker will ever tell you that. They'll still back the Purdue side. It's just style of play. TCU would be a nightmare for Purdue, in my opinion. But, yeah, so kind of looking at the top half of the quadrant, Gonzaga could certainly make it to the Elite Eight. Not that I think they're good, but it is what it is. I have no confidence in Kansas at this point. So if you pick Samford, I'm not going to begrudge you. Just be mindful of make sure your tournament format gives you enough value for just calling for an outright upset. And then on the bottom half of the side, you know, love South Carolina and Oregon. Don't love the fact that they're playing each other, and then don't love the fact that they have would likely be facing Creighton next round. Akron, could there be a chance Akron pulls off an upset against Creighton? Absolutely, because, you know, there's always a chance that Creighton does not shoot well. But Akron basically relies on chasing guys off the three-point line. It won't really matter. Creighton's still going to find and create shots and shoot beyond the arc. It's just a matter of if Akron can somehow catch Creighton on a bad shooting day, Creighton's always susceptible to taking a loss. The only caveat is Creighton is still going to take up a ton of shots and probably make a high percentage of them. It's just
the way they play, and they've been extremely efficient throughout the year doing so. Colorado State, I expect them to beat UVA. I think they would match up extremely well against Texas. Colorado State is the kind of team that can knock off of Tennessee. So if you see Colorado State advancing, I personally would back Colorado State over Texas, and there's a very real chance they knock off Tennessee as well. But my favorite to come out of the region is going to be Creighton still. I don't love the region, but you know, out of the teams I would be comfortable backing more than the others, it would be the Creighton side of the ball as a whole for the Midwest region. So that's going to do for the Midwest. We will continue our bracket coverage with the other groups. Keep plugged in. Take care, folks.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Throwdown Podcast. Be sure to like and subscribe to the show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and all major outlets.